This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Regret, Al-Hasra in Arabic, is the name of an incredibly powerful negative emotion which affects every human being from time and time again. However, it's one of those emotions which, if it is not managed correctly with iman, faith, tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, ihtisab, hoping in the reward from Him, it can peak. And it can consume a human being and can and does and has pushed people to the edge of suicide. The Harvard newsletter speaks of an old pensioner in Liverpool who used to take out the same set of lottery numbers every single day in the hope of one day hitting the jackpot. And on one particular morning, he forgot to renew his numbers. He didn't take out a lottery ticket. And on that morning, his lottery numbers came up and somebody else won the jackpot. And he was so filled with self-blame and pity, pain and regret that he found no way to manage this pain other than to claim his own life, he committed suicide. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has given the Day of Judgment so many different names. And one of its names is Yawmul Hasra, the Day of Regret, where many people, God forbid, will wish for the same fate of that old man. They will yearn for death when they realize that they have failed. But that wish shall not be honored and they will not be given death. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ, warn humanity of the day of regret. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا, we have warned you of an impending punishment. يَوْمَ يَنظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ, on the day when each human being will see what his hands have earned. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ, and the disbeliever will announce, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا, oh, I wish that I was dust. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as Bukhari narrates on the authority of Abu Huraira, he said, لَا يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُنِ الْجَنَّةِ إلا أري مقعده من النار لو أساء ليزداد شكرا. Any person who is given entry into Jannah will first be shown his potential home in Jahannam, the hellfire, if he had been an evil person, so that he may be even more grateful to Allah. ولا يدخل النار أحد إلا أري مقعده من الجنة لو أحسن ليكون عليه حسرة. And any person who's thrown into hell will first be made to see his potential home in Jannah, had he been a good person, to increase this person in regret. Regret, therefore, is a powerful emotion. For many people, what once seemed to be the ultimate achievement in life will on the Day of Judgment seem to be a regretfully wasted opportunity. Because what greater regret can there be to discover when it is too late that not only did Allah exist all along, but we had a lifetime to prepare for that meeting and we have missed out on paradise. Regret is a powerful negative emotion. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has guided us to certain matters that will bring about hasra, nadama, regret on the Day of Judgment, so that the blueprint is available for you and I to prepare and avoid it wherever possible. 6 causes of regret that I would like to share with you this afternoon. The first of them, the regret of not giving Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Quran, its due attention. Muslim narrates on the authority of Abu Umamah Al-Bahili that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اقرأوا سورة البقرة, recite abundantly Surah Al-Baqarah. He said, فَإِنَّ أَخْذَهَا بَرَكَةً, Because taking Surah Al-Baqarah is a blessing. وَتَرْكَهَا حَسْرَةٌ And leaving it will cause regret. وَلَا تَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةٌ And the magicians can never overcome it. This is cause number one of regret for people. يوم القيامة having neglected Surah Al-Baqarah. Regret number two. Sitting in a gathering, whether online or offline, with friends or with family, being part of a majlis whereby the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even mentioned once. And that is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن قَوْمٍ يَقُومُونَ مِن مَجْلِسٍ لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِيهِ إِلَّا قَامُوا عَن مِثْلِ جِيفَةِ حِمَارٍ وَكَانَ لَهُمْ حَسْرَةٍ Any people who gather together to talk, whereby the name of Allah is not mentioned even once, it will be as if they had gathered around the corpse of a donkey. And that gathering will bring regret on the day of judgment. Sat in a majlis with family and not once Allah's name is mentioned, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, not once, this will be a gathering of regret. This is number two. As for regret, number three, there will be people on the day of judgment regretting that they had yearned for positions of authority and leadership in the life of this world. Al-hirsu ala al-imara. Competing for a position of authority and nobility in dunya. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَحْرِصُونَ عَلَى الْإِمَارَةِ There will come a time when you Muslims will compete for positions of authority. وَإِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ نَدَامَ وَحَسْرَةِ And it's going to bring regret on the day of judgment. فَنِعْمَةِ الْمُرْضِعَةِ وَبِئْسَةِ الْفَاطِمَةِ So how great is breastfeeding and how difficult is the weaning. People will ask, what is the relationship between breastfeeding and weaning a child and wanting a position of authority? Why is the hadith concluded like this? Because those who are chasing after a position of authority, they are being compared to a child who is breastfeeding from his mother. Receiving his nourishment with ease from the breast of his mother. Morning and evening, several times a day, with no difficulty from himself. It is all available. He has to expend no energy. And that is the position of authority. It has privileges. It has perks. It has opportunities. It makes life easy. But every child must be weaned. And when the child is weaned, he must cry. And similarly, every individual who has a position of authority must be weaned. It will be taken away from him, and this person will cry, especially if they were aspiring for this position, they will find it difficult on the day of judgment. He said, how great is breastfeeding and how difficult is the weaning? That is number three. As for the fourth cause of regret, it is riya, showing off. Meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds that had holes of insincerity within them. What this person had described as a lifetime's worth of da'wah and salah, fasting, sadaqah, hijab, Islamic posts, halaqat, circles of knowledge, had no foundation of sincerity other than Allah was intended. So this person sees the mountains of good deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah being decked one after the other, reduced to rubble. La ilaha illallah. And that is why Allah said, وَبَدَى لَهُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ They will see on the day of judgment things that they did not expect. As for the fifth cause of regret for those who want to prepare, injustices that were not settled between Muslims in the life of this world. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ مَظْلَمَةٌ لِأَخِيهِ مِنْ عِرْضِهِ أَوْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَلْيَتَحَلَّلْهُ مِنْهُ الْيَوْمَ قَبْلَ أَنْ لَا يَكُونَ دِينَارٌ وَلَا دِرْهَمٌ Whoever has a problem with his brother, Whoever feels there is an injustice between him and another Muslim in the life of this world, you had wronged him in his honor or any other way, then settle your dispute, he said. Settle your dispute today before a day comes when there will not be a dinar and dirham. There will not be a financial currency for you to exchange with one another to settle a dispute. The currency will be good deeds and sins. And then he said, إِن كَانَ لَهُ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. If this person has good deeds, he will be giving his good deeds over to the person whom he had oppressed, according to the size of the injustice. If, however, he has given away all of his good deeds and he has nothing left to give, then that person will start loading on him his sins. And this is a terrifying prospect, to be answerable before Allah for things that you never did. Imagine finding on your scales the sins of adultery, interest, riba, alcohol, theft. You didn't do any of those things. Ah, but there was an injustice between you and your brother, you and your sister, that was not settled, so they unloaded their sins on you or I. And this is one of the greatest contradictions and paradoxes of the Day of Judgment. On one hand, you find yourself unable and unwilling to give any of your good deeds to the people you love. Mom and dad, children, siblings, you cannot and will not and don't want to give them any of your good deeds. Whereas on the other side, you will pass your good deeds over to the people you hate. Why? Because we had wronged them in the life of this world. One of the strangest contradictions of the Day of Judgment, La ilaha illallah, and one of its frightening aspects. That is regret number five. An injustice, dhulm, oppression, sariqa, theft, ird, honor, harm between Muslims, and it was not settled in the life of dunya. And the sixth and final regret I wanted to share with you is the regret of not giving the Day of Judgment the priority it deserves. And there, Yawm al-Qiyamah, when people see the realities of the hereafter unfolding before their eyes, many will fall into a fit and will shriek and will scream and say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Oh, I wish that I had prepared for my life. And they will say, Rabbana absarna wa sami'na. Our Lord, we now see and we hear. فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. So bring us back to dunya. We will do good deeds. إِنَّا مُقِنُونَ. We are now certain. But the response is from another ayah. كَلَّا. No. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. This is just a word that he is uttering with his mouth. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And there is now a barrier between them and life till the Day of Judgment. These are six causes of regret that will affect every individual who does not take heed and make the necessary changes and reshuffles their priorities, and we have been warned. However, we don't have to leave it at this negative note. You and I are able to convert every one of these six into opportunities. Take them one by one. We said the regret of not taking care of Surah Al-Baqarah, so let us take care of Surah Al-Baqarah. Pair up with a brother of yours, a friend, a spouse, a sibling, and say, within 3 months, we will have memorized Surah Al-Baqarah. Enough delaying. Let us understand it, apply it, recite it in our homes. It is a barakah, a blessing, and the magicians cannot overcome it. That's regret number one. Make it into an opportunity. And then we said regret number two is being part of a gathering where the name of Allah is not mentioned. Ensure that you are mentioning the name of Allah in every gathering, online or offline. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Astaghfirullah, this is backstabbing, stop there. This is a lie, do not repeat it. Mention the name of Allah, so the gathering is an opportunity. And then regret number three, we said people who are chasing for a position of authority. I have to be the one who cuts the red ribbon. I have to be the one who is in the face of the interview. I have to be the one who signs off the new contract. I have to be the one. Now, you are working for the religion, try to work away from the limelight, behind closed doors. That is regret number three. Regret number four, we said, riya, showing off. insincerity. This, my brother, my sister, is a work in progress for every one of us. But monitor your heart. Just like the ill people or the diabetic do for their blood sugar levels, monitor it and ensure that it is within the domains of ikhlas. We said number five, regret for the injustices between people. We can deal with that as well. Go to your brother, go to your sister, whom you are not in communication with, and say, it is my fault, I apologize. Is it money you need? Is it an apology you need? What do you require? Let us deal with it today before we are stripped of our money and our clothes on the day of judgment. And number six, we said the sixth regret is to not give the akhirah, the hereafter, the priority it deserves. And we are able to deal with this one by reshuffling our priorities, rethinking our schedules. Many people are leading their lives, and some are being led by life. And these are two different perspectives. Either you are leading your life, you are in control, or either you are being led by life. You are doing things because that's what everybody else does. But there is no real objective or compass that's guiding you. Led by life. Most of us, dear brother, dear sister, and I say this with gentleness, inshallah, only ever prepare for our dunyawi worldly aspirations. And even those worldly aspirations that we prepare for, they're not usually beyond the age of 30. What about the age of 40 and 50? There is no plan. Ask the average individual, what is your plan for the future? Well, I am going to study. I'm going to work after graduating. I might get married and have a few children. Then I will save up a few quid, buy a flat or a house. Okay, that's the age of 30. What about 40 and 50 and beyond? I haven't really thought about that, let alone thinking about the life after dunya. Some are being led by life, others like yourselves, inshallah, they are leading their lives, and they are in the driving seat. They are taking command, and they are choosing what to do with their dunya and akhirah. Nobody on his deathbed will ever wish that they had accumulated more money. And if you don't believe me, ask Bronnie Ware. Bronnie Ware is the name of an Australian nurse who specializes in palliative care. And she wrote a book. She called it The Five Regrets of the Dying People. She was taking care of the young and the elderly who were in the last 12 weeks of their lives. She was interviewing them and she asked them, what do you regret the most from life? She took note of their epiphanies, their dying wishes. And one of the interesting things she says in her book, there is a phenomenal amount of clarity of vision that is given to a person who is dying. And she said, nobody wished to have had more sexual relations when they were a young man or woman. Nobody wished for that. Nobody wished that they had a better car. Nobody wished that they engaged in bungee jumping or any other exhilarating experience. From the top five regrets of the dying people that were repeated over and over again, especially for men, one of them was, I wish that I had not worked as hard as I did. I wish my life was not defined by a chase for the pound and dollar. I wish I had greater priorities in my life. I wish I saw the bigger picture. And from the Quran, we have been given this clarity of vision. We know where we are going and we know what we want to achieve. And therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us with this type of clarity of vision. And we ask Him to inspire us to focus on the greatest priorities of life. And that is pursuing Allah and building the afterlife.